Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am Susan Franson, one of your hosts for today, with Ursula Rudenberg. Hi, Ursula.
Hi, Susan. Welcome back from the North Country. It's really a pleasure to give a weather report this morning because it's almost chilly for the 4th of August, but not. It's actually very pleasant weather, and this whole week we'll see daytime highs in the mid to upper 70s. It was great to have rain this week. We all appreciate it, and there's a chance of thunderstorms on Saturday and Sunday, and the temperatures remain great for August.
That's good news for all the people preparing for Foodies and Brew this evening. We have Cindy Hicks, director of the Main Street Cultural District, to give us a preview of the events and the foodies and the brews. But most of our program will deal with food in one way or another. We're going to have Marilyn Anderson to talk about food sellers of local food. Susan Guiazza will come in during the latter half of our show to give a report on Rummage Rampage as well as other news from the city of Ames.
It's my pleasure to introduce Cindy Hicks.
Good morning.
Welcome back, Cindy.
Thank you.
It's always good to have you. Why don't we start by just having you explain the idea behind Foodies and Brew.
Well, Foodies and Brew is a celebration of our local chefs here in Ames. They're some wonderful food offerings here in Ames, all over town. And then our local beers, our locally brewed beers. And so the event puts the two together. You get samples of all of the different types of food from our chefs and paired with locally brewed beers and some live music, and it makes for a nice evening.
And this event is now about 4 years old?
Yes, so this will be the fourth year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Counting the one that got rained out, and we'll talk about that too, right?
Yes.
So first of all, where is it? When is it? Let's get the specifics.
Well, gates open at 6 p.m. At Douglas and Main, right out in front of KHOI Radio. And you can get in line then. We'll start taking tickets, actually all of the names. If you purchased a ticket online, your name will be on the list. And so we'll just mark those off as you go in. And then the tastings start at 6:30 along with the live music. Little different this year with the music starting earlier.
If I remember correctly, it might be a good idea to come early because that line tends to be kind of long.
It does. It does.
Yeah. So come early, get a place up front in the line, and it said starts at 6:30.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And if you're there at 6 o'clock, we will have you in the gate by 6:30 and, mm-hmm. and ready to take advantage of all the tasting. The event will go from 6:30 till 9:30.
Mm-hmm. And okay, lots of fun. Can you explain who the chefs and the brewers are?
Yes. So I'll start with Kevin Terrell and those guys, and I'll start with him because he has taken home the People's Choice Trophy 3 years.
Okay.
And so
this is a competition.
It's a competition. You get to vote on your favorite food, and Chef Kevin and those guys have taken home the trophy for 3 years. It's a traveling trophy, but it hasn't gone far. And he is making something called pork strami.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see
pork strami.
Exactly what pork strami is.
But, now, who is Kevin?
Kevin is the head chef at Workiva. Mm-hmm. And he, I do believe that him and those guys do some catering as well.
But mostly he cooks for the employees at Workiva.
Yes.
He doesn't run a restaurant per se.
Correct. Correct.
Yes. But they also do some catering.
Yes.
Huh.
And
Eating is good at Workiva, apparently.
That's what I hear. I have actually been invited out there before for lunch. And
Was it good?
Yes. It's like a gourmet meal every day for those folks.
Well, probably for the past week, they've been eating different versions of pork
strami
as guinea pigs.
Could be. Along the lines of pork, we have Arcadia Cafe.
Now, wait a minute. How long has Kevin had the trophy?
He's had it for 3 years.
So he's basically dominated this
event. He's dominated it.
So who's the challenge this year?
Yes, everybody will have to bring their A game.
All right.
So Arcadia Cafe it has a pork belly concoction.
Okay. sounds good.
Well, and everything from Arcadia Cafe is good.
This is true.
Yes.
Yeah, this
I
is
mean,
true.
You can't go wrong there. Whiskey River pulled pork sandwiches. We have a little pork theme going on here with a homemade barbecue sauce. And, of course, anything you get at Whiskey River is always delicious. So we'll be waiting for that. Bar La Tosca. And... You know, I'll be honest with you. I can't pronounce some of these things. Coco panna cotta?
Colta. Coco panna colta. That's what it looks like to me.
I think it's
G's.
Yeah. Coco panna cotta.
So that's an Italian dish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds delicious.
Sounds fabulous.
So Depot Deli with Caprese Bites. Which sounds really good. Old Main Brewing Company with pan-seared duck breast on a plantain chip with banana brandy sauce. Very nice. And for those of you who have been waiting patiently for Jethro's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm. New vendor.
They are new this year. They are not even open yet, but they are going to give everybody a preview of what's to come with some bone-in wings with barbecue rub sauce. Mm-hmm. So all of those different foods.
So who is Jethro's?
They are a barbecue company business. They have several restaurants in Des Moines. They are opening a restaurant here in Ames. I heard the other day, and if this isn't true, correct me, but that their restaurant here in Ames will be the biggest sports bar in the Big 12.
I'm not in a position to correct you.
I don't know. I that's what I heard the other day, and I never had a chance to
For
check it out.
The Jethro's is opening up in the old Aldi. Yes. Spot and Ames.
So it's a big space.
Uh-huh. Yes,
down
very
on Duff
large.
Avenue. Down on Duff?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how big a sports bar would have to be the biggest sports bar in the Big 12.
But call Guinness.
If it is.
Tell them to come to Ames.
Yes. And so anyway, they're opening up there, I believe, in mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people have been looking forward to that. But you can get a preview of what they have. What they'll have in their restaurant at Foodies and Brew tonight.
Now those are all Ames vendors. One of your beer vendors is not from Ames, correct?
Correct. So our beer vendors are Alluvial Brewing Company from here in Ames, Torrent Brewing Company from here in Ames, Old Main Brewing Company from here in Ames, and Boone Valley Brewing out of Boone. So, of course, Boone Valley is close enough that we consider them local, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And how did these vendors end up being the people there? Is this something that – is this a contest to get into the event or
It is not a contest to get into the event. We put the – for the beers, we definitely look local.
Mm-hmm.
We want our local brewers. And so and there aren't – a whole lot of them.
Right. These are our guys.
Yeah, those are our guys. And they're always very, very willing to help us out. This is a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come, they donate their product and their time. And we are very grateful to them for supporting the work that we do on Main Street. And they're always very happy to do it. And they always have a really good time. And so picking the beers are easy. There there are local people. When you come to looking at the different food options, we put the call out to the different restaurants, and whoever signs up. And, you know, we have different ones every year. Again, they donate their time. They donate their product to the Main Street Cultural District. And, you know, some years restaurants are in a position to do it and other years that they're not. Mm-hmm. And so we end up with our list, and we can usually accommodate 10 or 12 mm-hmm. Restaurants. This year we have 10. Mm-hmm. So this is
really a community effort.
It really mm-hmm. is. And yeah. Mm-hmm. You look at the Main Street Cultural District and downtown Ames, it's the heart of the community. It belongs to the entire community, and we are really happy that restaurant chefs and owners from all over the community want to participate in this event and participate in helping us do great things for downtown Ames.
Now, the pork theme is coincidence. You didn't.
I think it is coincidence.
It.
Yes, we didn't set it, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, and Old Main doesn't have pork. It has something really
yes.
different.
Right, they have duck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how does one actually end up voting in this event?
Well, you go around and you taste all of the different foods and taste all of the different beers, and you will get a brochure as you come in the door, just like this one, although people out there in radio land can't see it.
It's a pretty brochure.
And you just write down your favorite of each, and you can vote, I believe, until 8:30. And then we'll count the ballots and present the trophy.
Excellent. And do they get actually a trophy?
Yes, there's uh-huh. actually a little
what
trophy.
What does the trophy look like?
It's just a little trophy.
If you go to the lobby of Vokaiva, it's sitting in their lobby somewhere.
likely, yes. Although I think I took a picture of Kevin with it last year, and it was actually in the cafeteria uh-huh. at Workiva.
Okay.
So
tell us a little bit about the music.
So the music this year, we have three bands. In the past, we've had one big band on a large stage at the end of the street. And mm-hmm. we decided that maybe we wanted something a little more intimate this year.
Mm-hmm.
This event is really about enjoying food, enjoying locally brewed beer, but it's also about enjoying the people that are around you. And sometimes that's a little bit harder to do when, mm-hmm. when there's really loud music. And
yeah, it's very much a social event.
It very much so. Is. And mm-hmm. so we decided that we would go with some very local to Ames musicians, people that you've seen down on Main Street before, and maybe just at a lower level, mm-hmm. made just a little more intimate setting. And so we have Ben Schrog and the Cautionaries, Sean Houston, Combo, and Evan Campbell. And they will play at different times throughout the evening. So you won't hear the same music all evening long. You'll hear each of the different ones at different intervals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds like fun. KHOI has been partnering this year with the district to with this event, and our engineer Evan Taylor has been dedicating staff time to it, because we can't help but notice what a fun event it is, because it's right in front of our building. So, and but also Donna and Lana are going to be part of the event this year.
Yeah, we're very excited about
hosts.
That. Yes, very excited about that.
So, what
live broadcast?
What are they going to do?
Broadcast live from the event and talk to people and talk about the food, which is what they do, and
uh-huh.
and I think it'll be a good time.
Okay, well, briefly, I do remember the year before last.
Oh, last year
was
yes.
it last year? And it was a terrific thunderstorm right in the middle of your event, and it was, I mean, it was not for you. For you, it was not amusing. For us, it was kind of entertaining because we were watching it through our front window. But it was kind of ended up being a referendum on which beer was good enough to stay through a thunderstorm on. But
well, and the people who stayed had a great time. We ended up last year.
Yeah,
we actually ran out of beer, but the people who stayed were very wet.
They were very
they
wet.
Were diehards, but they were having
fun,
a good
though.
Time. Yeah.
They were having
yeah.
a lot of fun. It's a beer and thunderstorm doesn't get any better than that.
I guess not. And Yeah, you're right. I wasn't nearly as amused as
we had people in here in garbage bags. They were putting garbage bags on and continuing to drink beer in garbage bags.
Yep, and like I said, the people who stayed had a really great time.
They did, yeah. But this year you're doing things a little bit differently, right?
Well, we had a rain location. Mm-hmm. I say had because it's going to be beautiful. And so we're not going to need our rain location.
That's right. That's right.
But we were very grateful to the City of Ames for mm-hmm. Letting us use the airport hangar as a rain location should we need it. Uh-huh. But looking at the forecast, it's going to be 74 degrees when the gates open with very little wind and clear skies.
It's awesome.
So unless the meteorologists got it horribly wrong,
it's going to be a great night.
It's going to be a great night.
Yeah. Okay, Cindy, do you? We're speaking with Cindy Hicks from the Main Street Cultural Districts about Foodies and Brew. Any last words about the event? Do you like this event?
I love this event. I love the opportunity to talk to people when they come down to this event. It's all about socializing and having a good time and eating some good food and really doing a good thing because some of the stuff that we do on Main Street, the beautification and the historic preservation and economic development, you're supporting that when you support this event. So there are still tickets available. You can buy them online still for till about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then we'll cut off the online ticket sales and you can buy tickets at the door.
Okay, thank you. Again, why don't you give the website where we can get tickets?
You can go to amesdowntown.org.
Okay. Okay. Cindy, thank you. Who ends up coming to this event?
Anybody. Anybody uh-huh. who enjoys food and beer and live music and friendship.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, a night under the stars and an evening. And, again, that's Foodies and Brews. Cindy Hicks, thank you for coming. And, again, this money actually goes to reinvest in the community.
It does, mm-hmm. yes.
So lots of fun to be had.
Well, I have a question also, though. Do you card people when you sell?
We do. So you have to be 21 to get into the event. I said anyone can come. Actually, anyone 21 and over can come. So mm-hmm. this is an adults-only event. Mm-hmm. You can have a date night. But, yeah.
It's a great date night, yeah.
Get
so bring your ID.
For the kids. Yes, bring your ID. Yes.
Thanks a lot. And thanks for coming by. And good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
graceful creek walking, stone so flat and cool. And when I sight those birds join me, and the bugs that dance on water too. Those bugs that dance on water too.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and we have just heard from Cindy Hicks telling us about this evening's Foodies and Brew, an event that will take place from 6 to 9 p.m. That's the announced time, but she says you need to be in line at 6, but it's really from 6 to 9:30 on the corner of Main Street and Douglas, and extending down Douglas past the Pantorium where KHOI stands.
It's a celebration of local chefs and local breweries, and all of the proceeds go to supporting downtown Ames. And speaking of local food, we did a show last week where we went out to the Slim's Country Market out on Highway 69 by Story City and spoke with the owner, Kurt Johnson. And he said something really interesting to us. He said that he was talking to us about how it's difficult to find local vendors for fruits and vegetables in Iowa. And he told us that he no longer can get muskmelons. And that people still come in and ask for them, but he doesn't have a vendor for them anymore because it's very labor-intensive to grow muskmelons. And people aren't selling them. So I was actually went to South Dakota last weekend, and I was driving back from South Dakota along Highway 30, I think it was. No, it was Highway 20. And just took my time stopping at various towns, and I actually came across a farmer's market. A farm market along the highway that was selling muskmelons. So I thought it was really curious. So I asked them about who was selling the muskmelon, because it seemed like it might be one of the few farms in the state left that's actually selling them. And he said they were from Hilltop Farms in Dallas Center.
So you sent me on a quest for muskmelons. And I have to admit that I'm not sure I can tell the difference between a muskmelon and a cantaloupe. But this raised a different question for me. Kurt Johnson told Ursula that none of his produce comes from local sources. Was that correct?
No. A lot of his sources are local, but he says it's more and more difficult to find them.
More and more difficult to find them. But if the roadside markets have trouble getting local produce to sell, where is it gone? So I asked Marilyn Anderson, manager of Farm to Folk, whose business is to find buyers for local produce. So, hello, Marilyn.
Hello.
Thanks for talking with us this morning.
Sure, my pleasure.
The old model was farmers sold their produce through roadside markets. So how would you describe your business?
Farm to Folk is a business where I connect buyers with the producers, and people place an order through Farm to Folk after the producers tell me what they have, and then the customers place an order to me, and then I relay that to the producer, and they bring it once a week to a distribution point, a Farm to Folk Works.
And you also have the option of what you call a la carte, is that right?
That's right.
And could you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, the a la carte, every week I put an order form up that has what's available that week, and people can go to that order form and place an order. So they can order from Friday morning to Saturday night, and then that whatever they order will be delivered on the next Tuesday.
Do you have melons?
We don't have melons yet, but I did talk with a couple farmers, and we will have melons. They're just not ready yet.
Do you know how many farms in Iowa still raise muskmelon? Do you have a sense of that?
I really don't have a sense of that. Mm-hmm. I think melons are a little more tricky to grow, so maybe as some of the people getting into produce farming get more experience, maybe we'll see more muskmelon again. But I really don't have a sense of how many people are growing melons right now.
Are muskmelons more difficult to grow than cantaloupes?
That's funny that you said that. I'm not sure if I know the difference between a muskmelon and a cantaloupe either.
Muskmelon is bigger than a cantaloupe.
Is it?
Yeah.
I assumed it was just like a different variety of a melon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we used to get delicious muskmelon. When I lived in Boone years ago, there was a roadside market that had them. And I know they were local. But, yeah, I haven't seen those great big ones. Is that the muskmelon?
Do you understand what Kurt's statement, that it's more and more difficult to get local produce from farmers?
I guess I do. I wonder if more local farmers are selling directly to consumers instead of going through the markets like Kurt has.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said he thought it was because there were more farms that just didn't have the didn't grow the produce, that they just grew corn and beans. Do you have any sense of which direction that's going, whether you're getting less of the small farms or that there's some new small farms that are popping up in different places?
My sense is that there are new small farms popping up. But, yeah, there's maybe been a lag. People kind of got out of it for a while, and now local food is kind of getting more buzz, I guess you could say. And
well, with the new farms that are popping up, what are people growing?
They're growing all sorts of vegetables. We have just been contacted by a small farm that's going to be offering grapes, which at Farm to Folk we've been delighted to hear about that. And that's a farm near Story City.
Is this a vineyard or is this simply a grape farm?
I haven't visited them yet. I've just been contacted. But they grow multiple different vegetables, but they have a small vineyard with table grapes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question, and it's it comes from an experience I had yesterday. We were on our walk, and we were walking past the backs of houses. I won't explain where that is, but anyhow, we were walking past the backs of houses, and there was a woman picking peaches. And she had a peach tree that was just loaded with peaches, and she gave us a couple of little bags of peaches, which were delicious. And she said she didn't spray. She did have a few bugs, and she sort of tossed those into the flower bed. They were so good, and I wondered, are there any commercial peach orchards?
As far as I know, there are not any commercial peach orchards. Peaches are a little bit iffy in Iowa's climate, at least in the past they have been. I know Lee's Greens has some peach trees started, so maybe that's something else we can start to look forward to.
You described that there's kind of a new generation of farmers in Iowa who are selling vegetables. I guess I'm curious, is there a type of person who's doing that, and how do they afford that with the cost of land in Iowa?
Well, I guess two things. Mostly it's younger people who have a lot of energy because it's pretty labor-intensive. this is just my sense. I can't really speak from statistics, but just from what I've experienced. And, yeah, land is expensive, but I think to do production of vegetables doesn't take, you know, 100,000 acres. It just takes a few acres. So that might be another way that young people are getting into farming now.
Are there any other changes that you'd like to tell us about before we sign off?
I guess I can't really think of anything. I just know that we are, you know, getting inquiries from quite a few smaller vegetable farmers about participating at Farm to Folk. So I feel optimistic about the possibilities for young people getting into farming that way.
I did notice one thing in your website, and I was differentiating it from some of the farmers' markets, and that is that you stress that your farmers are farming sustainably. And I think some of the people who are vendors at the farmers' markets might not fit into that classification. Is that true?
I don't know. I can't really speak to that. We try to find farmers who are using organic methods, sustainable methods, as much as possible. And the farmers market doesn't select that way. But I don't know who all is at the farmers market, so I'm not sure.
Well, I just was wondering if that was a limiting factor. Well, it sounds like there are lots of new possibilities and, I guess, new products. You mentioned aronia berries yesterday when I talked to you. Now, could you tell people what your website is and what days you have your Farm to Folk exchange?
Yeah, our website is farmtofolk.com, farmtofolk.com. And you can go to that website and see our order form. And then Tuesdays is the day we have our distribution. And we have that at the First United Methodist Church in downtown Ames.
And do you sell muskmelons?
We don't have muskmelons
okay. Now.
the farmers I talked to last night said they were going to have some melons. I don't know if they were muskmelons or cantaloupes, but they were going to have melons, watermelons, and maybe honeydew melons.
Okay, and I'm still on the trail for muskmelons.
And thank sorry, you. I can't help you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. Clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top
You've been listening to KHOI Community Radio, where we've been talking with Marilyn Anderson, coordinator of Farm to Folk, about connecting growers with consumers. Our next guest, and she has some other guests to introduce you to, is Susan Guiasta, giving us the monthly update from the City of Ames. Welcome, Susan.
Welcome and good morning.
Could you tell us...
I have two guests with me today. Lots of things are happening, of course, as they always are in the City of Ames. But I need some help because they're big ones. I have with me today John Dunn, who is the director of the Ames Water and Pollution Control Department, and Mary Rankin, who is the director of sustainability at Iowa State and coordinator of sustainability at the City of Ames. So we have three big topics to touch today. One of them is the results from Rummage Rampage, which Mary will talk about, our community-wide garage sale. But at first, I also want to talk about an existing internet study that is on our website. But first, I want John Dunn to talk about the big news, the big project that we're near completion, and that is the completion of the water treatment plant on East 13th Street. So, John, I will let you share a little bit about that project.
Well, this is a project that actually started back in 2008 when we hired a design team to begin an evaluation. It originally kicked off as a plan to modernize, renovate, and expand the existing facility. And when we did the assessment of that building, what we found was that the cost to try to renovate it was actually going to be more expensive than building a new plant. And after putting all of that money in, we were still going to be landlocked and not have any place to go 20 years from now when the next expansion was needed.
I don't know that everybody even knows where the water plant is. It's sort of centrally located in the city.
It's kind of tucked away. We sit at the east end of East 5th Street, just past Banshell Park, kind of in the shadow of the power plant. So in 2009, when our study was done, we presented the results to the city council with a recommendation that the council endorse a plan to construct a new, larger water treatment plant at a new location. And the council gave us their concurrence. And since then, we have been steadily moving, sometimes faster than others, towards what's about to happen later this month.
The location on East 13th was strategic.
It was. There was a lot of value to that. For the drinking water utility, it's within a mile of the existing facility. And it sits just slightly higher than the existing facility. So it allows us to pump water to the new plant without having to make a lot of renovations to our well fields or the well lines that deliver the water. And we're able to flow by gravity from the new plant back to some existing ground storage tanks at the old site and reuse easily $15 million worth of infrastructure at that site.
So we're able to use the same water source, the same kind of treatment, so will the water taste the same?
That's the single most common question that we've been asked. We expect that the water is going to taste exactly the same. It is the exact same wells. We've just piped them to a new location. The treatment process that we're using is identical to what we've used for decades here in Ames. It's a newer generation. It should be more efficient, both in chemical use and in energy use, but the water should taste exactly the same.
And as people have been driving past East 13th, we've been able to kind of watch this building rise up out of the ground. How long are we going to be able to count on getting our water from this particular plant?
Well, the plant was sized because of the way it was financed. We could only look forward 20 years to a population in Ames. So it's designed around an estimated population of 75,000, which we think will get us to somewhere around 2033. But the facility was laid out so that it could be expanded in multiple stages in the future. So it can go from its current capacity of 15 million gallons to 20 million gallons a day, and then from 20 to 25 on the same site. And when folks get a chance later this month to tour the facility, they're going to see that this is a significant building in terms of its structural capacity. It's not a throwaway building. It's not a 15 years and then walk away from it. This is a building that's designed to be there for 80 to 100 years.
And if I'm correct, at this point in time, it is the largest capital improvement project the city has undertaken?
I believe so. It looks like the all-in price for construction, land, engineering is going to come in at just under $70 million.
And when can residents see this fabulous new building.
So the heavy construction on the site is done. We're in a commissioning phase right now where we've been testing individual pieces one at a time and then starting to plug things together into larger and larger systems, all building up towards a fully functioning water treatment plant. And right now we're looking forward to a ribbon-cutting ceremony that will take place on the morning of Saturday, August 26th at 9 a.m. And once the ceremony is done, we're going to open the doors and we'll do tours into the early afternoon of that facility.
Saturday, August 26th, that's coming up soon.
It's coming up very, very quickly. There's a lot yet to be done to have the facility ready.
We expect hundreds of people will be interested in seeing this event. Where will they park?
Well, we're still working on that plan. We're trying to make some arrangements with neighboring businesses, possibly across the street on 13th Street. If that's where we end up, we'll have shuttles to get people safely across that business.
And the lot itself can carry about 100 vehicles?
Yeah, we think we can get at least 100 cars in there on the site
itself.
Yes, come early would be a good plan.
9 a.m., Saturday, August 26th. What's the address?
The address is 1800 East 13th Street. It just sits immediately to the east of Skunk River on the south side of the road.
It has its own turning lane.
It does.
Yeah, that's great. It's so exciting, John. Thanks for coming in and sharing.
Sure.
Things have gone very smoothly, as far as I can tell.
They've gone remarkably smooth. Obviously, there's always little things that come up, but we've not had any big major roadblocks at all in this project.
That's fabulous. We just finished another project, not nearly as large, but on Wednesday we wrapped up a sustainability event, the Rummage Rampage, the second annual Rummage Rampage. Mary, how'd we do?
We did fabulous, Susan. Even, last year, we far surpassed what we thought we would do. I think the same could be said for this year.
So tell me a little about Rummage Rampage, what it is and what its purpose is.
Well, the intent of Rummage Rampage is the fact that about this time of the year, when we have the changing of leases, people moving in and out of our community, we have a lot of items that aren't necessarily needed, people find as they move out. And then as people move in, they find that they need items. And so, gosh, it's like matching those unneeded items.
What kind of
people
items?
People that can use them. So if you walk into your house, you look around at all the furniture, those type of items. If you walk into your kitchen, open some cupboards, those types of items are the primary items. And the reason that we're targeting those in particular and the reason that we specifically want those to find good homes is because they don't have a good home at the Resource Recovery Center. They're not made of materials that provide a beneficial fuel source for electric services and to make electricity in the community. So rather than them directly being landfilled, we'd like to put them to good use where they're needed.
So Mary, I love the opportunity to talk about our waste energy facility because sometimes I think people aren't aware of what we do with the garbage in Ames. What do we do with the garbage in Ames?
The garbage in Ames all goes to our Resource Recovery Center, which is located very centrally, very near the power plant.
And the existing water plant.
Yes, only for a while, though. But it's located close because the Resource Recovery Center sorts through the items that come in, finds the items that are beneficial, and the items that aren't beneficial go to the landfill, but the items that are beneficial go through a series of getting ground and going through different screens in order to provide this wonderful fuel that can be put with our natural gas and provide us with electricity in the city. Last I knew, that allows us to reduce our consumption of natural gas by 10 to 15 percent, which is significant for our community and looking at not having to use that non-renewable energy source as much as we are able. And so to that end, then, in any given year, we're able to divert between 60 to 70% of items that normally in other communities would be in garbage trucks and would be landfilled. It allows us to keep 60 to 70% of that material from being landfilled and going to a beneficial use.
Yeah, this is a really sad time for the Resource Recovery Center.
It's a difficult time. Absolutely.
Because truckloads of usable items come in and people don't have the time or the desire or the knowledge to take them somewhere to be reused. So we get great furniture, we get housewares, we get still usable items that end up on the floor of the resource recovery facility to be processed, and a lot of them just end up being landfilled. So Rummage Rampage,
Rummage Rampage.
Great partnership. What's the Rampage part of it?
Well, I think we found that the event is set up so that last year was a 5-day event. This year was a 6-day event because it was so popular. The first day we have donations.
And it's located
just
where?
Come in. It's located at the Ames Intermodal Facility, which is on Hayward Avenue.
And it's a parking ramp.
It's a parking ramp, exactly. So that's the Rampage. But also what we found is the first day is donation day. The second day is the first day of sales. And we have found a bit of a rampage in getting into the sales floor. We almost have a Black Saturday sort of effect. So anyway, it's been a nice event. It's allowed us to gain exposure for the intermodal facility and the wonderful services that they offer, as well as being very centrally located for folks and allowing us this year. We had 2 levels of the ramp fully covered with material, even to our last day, which was half price day.
So it's a win for Iowa State. It's a win for the city of Ames, but it's also a win for nonprofit groups.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have been able to do this event without the wonderful support of nonprofit groups providing volunteer service for the event. In exchange, nonprofits then receive all of the proceeds according to the number of hours that they have volunteered at the event. So no money goes back to the city or the university, but it all goes to support our community. And it's also a win for everyone in our community that been able to find something and not necessarily spend all of that economic resource that they have toward just putting things in their homes.
Great. So will we be back next year?
Well, I need to talk to my boss, but I believe we will.
Yeah. So if you missed this year's event, the 3rd annual Rummage Rampage will be held at the end of July 2018.
So. Most definitely. And I've already been talking to people who have said, gosh, I missed it this year, but I've got stuff for you next year. So people are already planning for next year's event.
Yeah. This never running out.
Never
running
out.
An endless supply of stuff.
That's right.
Another question for us about the Internet's survey. Recently, the Ames City Council held a workshop about Internet access in the city of Ames. There were some concerns among our residents that Internet access, the residents were not able to access the type of Internet they want, either speed or price. The council held a workshop to listen to both residents and to Internet providers. As the result of that workshop, it came out that Internet providers, those people who provide us Internet in the city, would like more information, and could the city facilitate that access to data. So if you are an Ames resident that has concerns or questions or comments that you would like to provide to us about your Internet, the Internet that you pay for from private service providers, go to the city's website, cityofames.org, and look at the bottom of the page in the spotlight where you'll see a link to something called Internet Survey. And that survey will allow you to put in your address and to share your thoughts about your Internet access and what you would like and what you're unsatisfied with and what you're satisfied with in the community. We have learned that many people in our community believe that Internet access is not just a want, but it's actually a need. We have people who are working from home. We know that our students are issued Chromebooks and need Internet for school. And so we're looking at ways to improve that. I just want to be clear that the city is not looking to take on Internet as a utility. There are other communities that do Internet access as one of their utilities. They provide water, electricity, and Internet. That's not the model that the city of Ames is interested in. So that survey will be up until early September, I think the Tuesday after Labor Day. The date escapes me. But it will be up till early September. Please take a minute to participate in the survey. We have over 400 responses. It just went up a couple of days ago. So we're really excited to look at those results and share those with other people that want to see the results.
And could you give me the
the address?
The address.
Yes. The City of Ames website is cityofames.org. So go there for all your city questions. We have a lot of information on that website.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You have This has been an action-packed city report.
We always have them. So much stuff I had to bring in extra talkers.
Well, thanks to all of you very much for coming in and brightening our hour.
Certainly.
You're
our
welcome. We'll be back. I'll be back in September with a whole new list of things to look forward to.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Ursula Rudenberg and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Cindy Hicks, Marilyn Anderson, Susan Guiazda, John Dunn, and Mary Rankin.
Music you heard today was Top of the World by the Carpenters and the Skunk River Song by Lindsay Neeson.
And Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon and 7 p.m. here on KHOI. And you can also hear this program online at KHOI-FM and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Our engineer has been Rebecca Reuter. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! With headline news at the top of the hour. Morning Masterpieces will follow at 9 a.m. You can call us at 515-292-2878 or email us at khoiradio@gmail.com, khoiradio@gmail.com, to go to the contact page of KHOI-FM. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Funding for KHOI is made possible in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. In the heart of Ames, the Ames Main Street Farmers Market brings local food and fun. Located between the 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, including Tom Evans Plaza, the Farmers Market provides fresh local fruits, veggies, meats, breads, handcrafted goods, live music, and family entertainment every Saturday.
Support for KHOI comes from Foodies and Brew. Friday, August 4th, when in downtown Ames, live music accompanies beer tasting and food from local chefs. Proceeds go to historic preservation, beautification, and economic development of downtown Ames. Friday, August 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. Food sampling will occur between 6:30 and 8:30. For more information, go to amesdowntown.org. That's amesdowntown.org.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. And the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world again, down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been.